And a very good morning to everybody out there listening. I'm Zoe Cabin, sitting next to Jeff Siegel on a frosty morning at Santa Anita Siegel. I was here at 5 o'clock and it was blimmin' freezing.
Well, I was in my home in my bed and it was warm.
So well, that's great. I'm just delighted.
So I'm glad that you braved the elements, because here's why. While I'm resting at home, letting you do all the dirty work, you are out there scouring the backstretch, because after all, in a podcast called The Backstretch, you're supposed to be roaming the backstretch and getting information that I don't know, so I can grill you.
All right.
So that way, you know, I'm satisfied with the information that I don't have to get myself.
I've been roaming all week, so let's get started. We're going to discuss all 14 races, more importantly, what other people don't know. We know who the favorites are. We know who the horses are to beat. But how about we get some other information out there?
Good point, because if you want the selections, I mean, I can, you know, you can look at that. For example, I have my selections full card, santanita.com. That's free. You can go to xbtv.com on my blog. I've got it there. Expressbet.com. So somewhere along the way, you'll probably run into my full card selections and analysis, but I can't get everything in. I mean, I want to be able to, like, you know, get you some stuff that maybe I didn't put in the written element. So the fifth race will start things off on Friday, which is, as of this recording, tomorrow.
Okay.
And this, of course, is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, a race that's relatively new. And when they first decided to run this, I thought it was kind of a stupid idea. But now I realize why, because it fills. And that's what they want. They want full fields here. Zoe, I'm going to tell people something that they may not know.
Okay.
And that is, well, two things. One is, I think four-wheel drive is a lot better than just a sprinter. And I think he's a really good prospect by American Pharoah. But I do think, and this is more of an opinion than a fact, but I think Band Practice might be the most dangerous of the Euros. It's an improving filly. Fillies can beat the boys, especially when they're two-year-olds. And she's won three in a row, including a stakes at Chanty on good ground. She is a very, very, very good filly. And if she breaks, she's going to outrun the others. But I'm not sure if she'll be able to outrun four-wheel drive. But if you're looking for a 12-to-1 shot, Band Practice.
Yeah, she's looked good out there. My only concern with the Euros running 5 furlongs, obviously they're not going to break as sharp as the Americans. And Millie brought up a very, very, very good point about the Euros. The 5 furlong races are on straightaways. This turn comes up quickly here. It's a field of 12. If you're a Euro on the inside and you don't make the turn very well, that's not great. And these are two-year-olds. I mean, you've got to remember that these are two-year-olds running in a foreign country. They've only ever run on a straightaway going 5 furlongs. Band Practice drawn on the inside. I mean, you just want to hope they all corner well.
Hence the 12-to-1. Now, you're absolutely right. Everything you say is correct, which is why I think she's going to be overlooked. But all things being equal, which they're not, going 5/8 of a mile, for the reasons you pointed out, I think Band Practice has a very good chance to outrun her odds. If you're looking for a long shot, she's the one. But four-wheel drive, I mean, I've seen his video, and he is very, very impressive. And Zoe, what is with the American Pharoahs? They all run on grass. In fact, I think he's going to have not one, but maybe two winners among the two-year-olds on turf.
They come in all different shapes and sizes. They really do. And four-wheel drive is a good one. Don't ignore Kamari in there for Wesley Warden. I'm going to throw another Euro at you who just looks good to me on the racetrack. And that's a 15-to-1 shot. Dr. Simpson has trained up a storm since this two-year-old filly by Dandy Man, a very, very good sire in Europe, has got here to Santa Anita. So watch out for Dr. Simpson. 15-to-1, Siegel.
He won a grade three, but that was on the all-weather in Ireland. His grass form is modest, but hey, he's going to be a big price, and it's that kind of race. So I'm not conceding that four-wheel drive will win, but I'm expecting that on numbers and everything else that I look at, he really is a good colt.
All right, race number 6, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. This for the boys. I'm all over Decorated Invader, like a rash. First time Lasix here for the son of Declaration of War. Looks like a 3-year-old. I absolutely love him. Arizona was out on the track this morning. Aiden's Army, you should have seen him. 10 of them lined up. It was like they cleared the track for Aiden O'Brien. So it's our first look at them. And Arizona looked great. He's a big, tall, growthy-looking horse.
He is.
He's beautiful.
The problem with Aiden's Army is they've been losing a lot of wars lately, at least in the States anyway. I checked Equibase, and this is something that I did not know, and I realized this. The last 2 years, Aden's European invaders that started in this country, one for 48.
One for 48.
I did not know that. I know it now. That kind of...
And that was last year, because he has not won a race here this year.
No, he was not. Oh, he's 0 for 19 this year, and then whatever he had last year. I'm not sure when the one win came, but it was one. But anyway, bottom line is, Arizona, and looking at the pure form when he was second, beaten two lengths by Pinatubo, who was their next Frankel, they're telling me. But he was well clear of everybody else. I don't know. I don't know what kind of draw he's going to get. But here's something that I didn't know or I didn't realize until I actually got down and did the research and the work. And that is, I'd watched Hit the Roads win in the Zuma Beach a couple of times, and not carefully. I'd be, oh, he won, you know, whatever. So I really put the magnifying glass on him last night to really watch the way he ran, the way he quickened, and he just blew me away. I mean, that was I didn't understand or realize how impressive he was until I actually focused on it. And he was magnificent. Now, I don't know why Victor Espinosa is not riding him back, but I do know that Pratt had the call on this colt like 2 days after the Zuma Beach. And so, therefore, Hit the Road. He's 10-1 with Pratt. He wouldn't be 10-1 if he didn't get stuck in the 14 hole.
He's going to be much less.
You think
odds.
So?
Yeah, he's a numbers play, a sheets play.
He got a 9 on the Ragusans, I was told, and that's faster than anything.
Any of them.
Right. So if he can somehow negotiate a good trip, Hit the Road can win. And the best advice for me is, if you think he's going to get bet, and I think he will, just like you think, you might be better off playing him in the rolling exotics like the pick threes and the daily doubles, because more than likely, pick four, because more than likely he will be closer to 10-1 in those kinds of wagers than he will be in the straight pool. So for me, Hit the Road. I picked Arizona. I like Arizona, but I'm telling you, if the discrepancy in the price is, to me, tips me towards Hit the Road.
All right, I'll go Decorated Invader in
there.
And I
like your horse, too.
Long Shot, who looks great on the track. He's a perfect 3-for-3. Graceful Kitten, 15-1. Watch out for the Son of Kitten's Joy.
Well, he is undefeated.
Absolutely nothing wrong with an undefeated three-year-old. All right, Seagull, race number 7, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Donna Veloce, 3-1 on the morning line. She draws the one hole.
Something that you may not know, or maybe you figured out the deuce time by reading the form. Donna Veloce is going to the lead. That's the strategy. I mean, whoop-de-doo. I'd probably, you know, they're not going to grab her. They're not going to rate her. They're not going to say. And sometimes this happens when you get a horse stretching out for the first time, and they talk about it in the paddock, and the trainer says, I don't know whether she can run this far, and try to get her out, you know, try to take a hole and see if. No. You go. And from the rail, Donna Veloce. In fact, that's the best thing that happened to her, to draw the rail, because now they don't have an
option.
You don't
have to overthink it.
No.
And if you're looking at the sheets again, she ran a 6. She towers above this field numbers-wise.
The question, though, is can she run long? I don't see any reason why she can't.
She's out of a Monjou mare.
Exactly.
Monjou ran 1.5 miles on the grass. I've got no problem with her. I'm not sure it's ever been done, though. Has a horse ever won the juvenile with just one star?
Probably not. You know, I don't recall that. But, you know, this is a different time of the year when 2-year-olds come quickly. And to me, I like the fact that she drew inside. I like the fact that the option of not even thinking about rating her, because I don't want that. I want her to take it to the other horses, and I want her to go. And she's 3-1. Now, I like Wicked Whisper originally, before the draw, and I still like her because she's undefeated in 2 starts, but she's going to have to do something that she has not had to do yet, and that is stalk.
Right.
You know, I watched her run, I watched her train. I don't think that's going to be an issue. The issue is catching up to Donna Veloce.
Yeah, I didn't love her last work, to be perfectly honest.
I agree
honest.
With you.
They worked 103 on the Sunday, they
right.
worked back on the Wednesday,
yeah.
And I just didn't love it. It was short rest because they worked so slow on Sunday.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything on the Sunday. I'm just not in love with Wicked Whisper. I am, however, in love with Donna Veloce, and I think I'll use British idiom in there as well.
The work that you mentioned that Wicked Whisper had, that was with Shoplifted, who's a pretty good colt. So I'm not quite as a negative on that, maybe. I'm just thinking that Donna Veloce is... And I want to watch the races, too, early in the day to see if speed inside speed's going, but... Donna Veloce, don't worry about rating tactics. They will not be employed.
Race number 8, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, Mr. Siegel. I'm going to give you a horse in here who's a big price, okay. And I absolutely love her.
That's what I want to hear.
She is 12 to 1. I've been watching her since Saratoga this summer. She's trained by Graham Motion. Her name is Sharing. She's out of a Breeders' Cup winner by the name of Shared Account that Graham Motion trained. And Graham has loved her all along. She got here to Santa Anita. She's filled out. She's grown up. She looks amazing. In fact, she looks like she is ready to explode. Numbers-wise, maybe she's going the right way, but she's below the top horses in here. But I think she is going to run a bang-up race.
See, here's the thing about the numbers. They tell you what a horse did.
Right.
They don't tell you what they're going to do. Right.
Unless they're going to bounce, perhaps.
Well, yeah, but maybe. But still, when you're talking about a 12-1 shot, she's 12-1 because her numbers don't quite match up.
Correct.
If they matched up, she wouldn't be 12-1.
If you see her in the flesh, Siegel, right. you'll be like, wow.
Okay, so you'd have to say that in your opinion, she might be as good a looking a horse in a particular race than you've seen.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think she's fantastic. And how can you ignore the Chad Brown trained selflessly in here, Siegel? What's Chad run 5 of the 8 runnings of this?
This is true. Although I don't think selflessly is even the best 2-year-old filly in her own barn, because the one that I thought was the best one, the Princess Caroline, the one out of half sister Lady Eli. She unfortunately got sick.
Right.
But she was working with selflessly and outworking her. So I think that's one for next year, Princess Caroline. Something you might know, I went back and watched the video on this No Nay Never filly trained by Andrew Balding, and her name is Shadden. She is 10-1.
James okay.
Spencer rides. She's never been long, and to my knowledge, don't think she's ever been around a turn either, okay? But she won a race called the Criterium de Maison Lafitte.
She won by head. Very good, Siegel. I'm impressed with your French.
I don't know. I know what it even means. I think isn't it the stakes of Maison Lafitte? Anyway, bottom line is she won by head. I like the race because what happened, she didn't break. And going short, she switched off so beautifully, and she was just sitting there behind a box, you know, with nowhere to go. And when she got out, she quickened like a really good filly, and she ended up winning the race. It was a career top number. If you look at her time form ratings, they've risen with every start. Out of a mare by Sadler's Wells. Here's a filly who I think will really like top of the ground. I think she'll like long. She's first-time lacing. She's drawn inside, and she is 10-1. This is a Euro type of filly that can win a race like this. Now, I'm looking at the other Euros, and there's a few. Daya's pretty good, obviously. Second in a Group 1 in Ireland.
She looks amazing, too.
She's good. Albigna won on Arc Day, although that was soft ground, but she did what she had to do in that day. The Euros are pretty tough. I still love Sweet Melania because I think she's the best of the Americans. And look at this. Look at her buying numbers. She's gone from 46 to 59 to 65 to 71 to 82. Every time she runs, she moves up like 6-7 points. And I have not seen her since she's gotten here.
She looks good.
Fine, but Zoe's telling me she looks good. I did not know that. Thank you very much. So Sweet Melania at 5-1. This is the race that you can really. Now I don't usually play a lot of tries and supers, but this is the race you might want to get down because I got 4 or 5 in here that I think are ready to run, including the filly you like from Graham Motion's barn.
I love her.
This is a super that could pay $10,000.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And I am really all in on Sharing. If you want a long shot on the day, the 2 days, she's my long shot.
There you have it. Okay.
Okay, and Mr. Siegel. Breeders' Cup Juvenile Race, number 9. Of course, we had the scratch of Maxfield earlier this week. Looks like he's got a bit of a foot on him, so he will live to fight another day. We'll see him next year as probably a top 3-year-old. Dennis's Moment draws the rail. Dale Roman doesn't care. I think this horse is fantastic.
I think he could really step up and be next year's star. Not only because I love his pedigree.
He's this year's star.
Well, but I mean next year in terms of the Triple Crown. Dennis's Moment somehow managed to clip heels and lose his job. How'd you like to take 5-2 on that horse first time out? Never got a run for your money. Comes back and wins by almost 20 lengths. Then he wins the Iroquois. He does it stylishly with a huge number. He looks good. He's trained well. He blew out sharply. I mean, everything points to Dennis's Moment really putting on a show here, even though there's going to be a lot of locals here who are going to back 8 rings because of the Baffert factor, which is fine.
I don't love 8 rings.
I did not know that.
No. I mean, physically, he looks fine.
Right.
He's fine out there. He's not an overly big horse. he just hasn't showed me the sparkle that I need to see from him. He was a bit more sparkly in the summer mm-hmm. at Del Mar than I'm seeing from Eight Rings right now. So I'm off of Eight Rings. I love Dennis's moment. I think Scabbard, you need to go back and watch his last race.
I did love it. That horse got wiped out in the turn.
Yeah, he got wiped out. He gets Mike Smith this time. He was formerly raced as Noose. He's a good horse, and he's 8-1.
He's good.
So watch out for him.
I'm going to give you another horse, a long shot, that you may not have looked at. Maybe you have. There is a colt in here from Golden Game named Anno d'Or. Now, this is a colt by Medaglia d'Oro out of Mirabai Tappet, $480,000 two-year-old training sale.
He should be running on the grass.
Well, here's the thing. He wanted to. They entered him in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. He didn't get in because all he has is a maiden win. So what does Blaine Wright do? He says, you know, he's buying Medaglia d'Oro and out of Mirabai Tappet. Why can't he run in the dirt? He has a bullet work, fastest of 74 since his maiden win.
He
beat nothing. I know that. But he powered home. You know who he reminded me a lot of? Bolt d'Oro.
Okay.
Bolt d'Oro was a dirt horse by Medaglia d'Oro, and you remember how he won when he won his 2-year-old race. So, to me, this is a colt who's never run on dirt. He's never trained on dirt. He's only in the race because he couldn't get the other one.
I've watched him train on the dirt here. He looks like a turf
horse.
Well,
he hasn't actually trained. He's galloped, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He goes like a turf horse. He's a beautiful looking horse. Okay. I like the fact they gave him a work out the gate because he's going to need to be forwardly placed.
I don't think so. After watching him, he's going to lay back and blast.
How's he going to handle the kickback?
I don't know. Yeah,
that's problematic.
Nobody knows. But I'm telling you, this is a colt that could lay back and blast home. Nobody knows how good this horse is or not good. But I'm telling you, the potential, the pedigree, the connections, the workouts in that first race, he ran against the wind, and the wind got trounced. I really like Anno d'Oro as a long shot looking for a blowout horse in a race that could be won by a blowout horse, or probably Dennis's mom would just gallop.
Yep, most likely. Okay, let's look at Saturday, Jeff Siegel. All right. We'll start in race number 4. Breeders' Cup Filly, a mess. Brent, of course, there are several other races before. It's actually a really, really good betting card, even before you get to race number 4. At Santa Anita, Kafefi's been burning up the track. At Churchill Downs, she looks great. Mm-hmm. Heaven Has My Nikki is Millie Ball's paddock pick in here.
Okay.
That big mare.
Okay. I like that Thistledown form.
You like the Thistledown
Not really.
Form. Come Dancing will be my top pick in here. I have one thing to say about Bellafina. A lot of people have written her off thinking she's done.
Right.
Maybe she doesn't want to do it anymore. She's only 3. It seems like she's been around forever. I think she's sharper than I've ever seen her.
Well, the one thing, the concern I have about Bellafina is that she does not like Santa Anita. Oh, wait a minute. She's 4-for-4.
Exactly.
So
she might have one good one left in her. She's going to go to the sale after this.
Right.
But
well, you know, I mean, you go back and remember the Santa Ynez Stakes that she won here back in January of 2019, going 7/8 of a mile. She won by 8.5 lengths. She looked like the best sprinting filly of all time. And since then, they try to make her something that she really isn't, and that's a route filly. She didn't really run that well in the test, but she didn't break. And then they tried her in the Cotillion, and that's, I mean, the idea here, I think, is to try to find out early in a career what a particular horse wants to do and let them do it. Now, I know there's a lot of money that you chase, but if Bellafina had been just allowed to be what she wanted to be, and maybe this is her last chance to show it, I could see her with Pratt at 6-1.
Yeah, I mean, she won the Santa Anita Oaks going 1/16. I mean, that's a grade one race.
I understand. You have to do that. That doesn't mean that's her best trip. And winning the Santa Anita Oaks at that time of the year when she's 30 cents on the dollar doesn't prove that she wants to run long. It just proves that she's better than the fillies that were in the race. That's
all right, so Kafefi's likely to be the favorite.
Inside draw is going for fillies and mares sprint, not where you want to be.
No, that's okay. Well, 1-2-3 is 0 for a long time here in the Breeders' Cup. So I don't know if she can overcome that or not. She has no problem running from the one hole. She's got 2 wins already breaking from the one hole.
Look, I think if she had been drawn outside, I wouldn't think she could lose. But that's almost like a handicap for her. She's stuck on the rail with speed outside. She won't get a breather. She better break. I'm telling you.
Do you want a long shot?
I definitely want a long shot.
Dawn the Destroyer. Now, she's 12-1. Spice Perfection just beat her by a head.
Right.
Spice Perfection is 4-1.
But Spice Perfection got left at the gate that day.
I know.
With 10 lengths
but Dawn the Destroyer, every morning there's one horse that gallops by me.
Okay.
And I say to myself, God, that one looks good. And it's her. Every single day, Dawn the Destroyer.
If you go back and look at the results of the Breeders' Cup races
TCA, yeah.
Yeah. No, if you look at the history of the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint, it is the most upside down race you could possibly imagine. That long shots just dominate. And I'm not talking about 12-1 shots, I'm talking about 50-1 shots. So anything can happen in this race, which is why most good gamblers are going to be gambling against Covfefe.
Race number 5, Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, Mr. Siegel. Who's liable to go off favored in here? It's going to be the old man?
I think so.
Pure Sensation?
Pure Sensation. He's 5-1 in the morning line. I picked him. It's such a grass grab bag. I mean, this is one thing, again, I do want to say, though, is that going 5/8 of a mile on this turf course, if you're not, you don't have to be in front, but you can't be farther than back than a second flight. Because they come spin, you hit that turn, and as an ex-rider, you know, Zoe, when you hit that turn, there's nothing you can do behind horses until they straighten for home. Unless you can try to circle the pack field, why, that never works. You can sit in there and hope it opens up, but if you're behind 4 or 5 horses, it's not going to open up. You're dead in the water. So you better be either in front, sitting second, or beating 2 lengths off the lead. I would stay away from the deep closers or the climax horses. And Pure Sensation from the inside draw, you know where he's going to be. So that's why I leaned on him.
You know who I'm leaning on?
I want to know.
Jason Service and Sheki Shabazz, 12-1 in the morning line, 2 triple-digit bias speed figures. Since being here, he's been feeling really good. In fact, it felt so good this morning he dropped his rider, who, by the way, did a fantastic job of holding on to him. He actually pulled the whole bridle off his head and still held on to him. So Sheki Shabazz, for me, is a must-use in here at 12-1 with Ortiz.
Sheki Shabazz ran 14 times and never earned a buyer number higher than 97. Then he shows up in Jason Service's barn. What do you get? A 102 and a 102.
That's only 5 points higher.
That's 2-3 lengths. That's pretty good for a sprinter. Come on. And Sheki Shabazz, who was beaten 3/4 of the length over good ground, even though they ran 107-1. That's really good ground. Last start, but that was going 6. Going 5, what is his record? 2/2?
Yeah, he's a good horse, so he'll be my top pick in there.
All right, so the only concern I have with Sheki Shabazz is if he hooks up with Pure Sensation, and maybe if he outruns Pure Sensation, he may never look back. That's good to know. Good gambling long shot for Sheki Shabazz from Zoe.
Race number 6, the Big Ass Fans, Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, just because I like saying big ass. Giant Expectations was feeling good yesterday. He turned over on his rider. He's fine. He was out on the track this morning, not behaving very well either this morning. So he's coming into it feeling like he's unbeatable. Improbable is 3-1, and he has been almost trying to run off in the mornings. Like, Bob's got him so, so sharp, but he's got a horrible draw.
Well, the problem with Improbable is not so much that he doesn't break well, but that he throws a fit in the gate before the latch is sprung. And I have tried Improbable. He was my actual Kentucky Derby pick. And, you know, I was disappointed that day. I was disappointed in the Preakness. The shared belief, he was good, you know, but it was a small field. He had 4 horses, you know, right. So he could screw around and still get it done. And then I thought he got in the most dreadful trip in the Pennsylvania Derby. He got beat a length. He didn't. He threw a fit in the gate. It says rail trip. Rail trip. Do you know what a rail trip is at parks? That is running in quicksand.
Right.
Improbable ran the best race maybe of his life when he got beat a length in that race. And you're telling me he's training well?
I don't like him. I go chalky in here. I like Omaha Beach and Mr. Money. Mr. Money, if he can pull off one of his good races on the world's biggest stage, he can win this race. And he is fit and ready. He's trained like a demon since he's got here the past couple of days. He's pumped up. It's Mr. Money in Omaha Beach for me.
You remember I was talking about Bellafina and how her trip is 7/8 of a mile? Mr. Money is a miler.
He is.
The reason why he's been running in the Pennsylvania Derby and the West Virginia Derby and all these mile and an eighth races is because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
You go.
Smart.
But Mr. Money is a miler. In fact, he's only run the mile one time, and even that, it was a one-turn mile. He won the Pat Day Mile at Churchill Downs. He won it by 5. He beat a very nice horse in Hawk Creek Hustle. He is a miler, as his sire was.
He probably should have won the PA Derby last time out. He had an inside horrible trip.
Where did Math Wizard come and get him? Way on the outside where the good ground is. Mr. Money is 6-1. I guarantee you this, as much respect as I have for Omaha Beach, that's about as good. If you can get it, that's the best 6-to-1 you're ever going to get.
I don't think you're going to get it.
Well, then play him in the Rolling Exotics. Yeah. He'll be closer to 6-to-1 pick threes and pick fours than he will in the straight pool. Mr. Money, and has anybody worked any better than Mr. Money? I don't think so.
Absolutely not. All right, Mr. Money, there you go. Omaha Beach, race number 7. The Filiamare Turf, can anybody beat Sister Charlie?
Nobody has this year. In fact, she is 7 out of 8. Her only loss since she's arrived here, well, she had 2 losses, one back in 17, but since 2008 was when she got beat ahead in the New York by 4-star Crook. She ran a great race that day. She just got beat. Teams get beat. Great teams, great horses get beat. You wouldn't think so. Let's put it the way. Have you watched her? Have you seen her since she's been here?
She looks as good as she's always looked. She's 5 years old. Sometimes you worry about these older mares thinking they're going to the breeding shed. Not her. She's great.
But she lost her pacemaker.
I know. She's never actually won a big race like this without Thais.
And Thais is not running.
So that could be a problem. Of the Euros coming in, Iridesa looked great out there on the racetrack. She'll get first-time Lasix. Biddleston Brook.
Good, yep.
Big Bernie-looking filly. Been running against some really, really good horses over in England. You know who I saw on the track this morning at 5 o'clock, and I have never seen her look as good?
Who's that?
Vasilika.
Really?
Never
Wouldn't that
have
be a story?
I seen her look as good. She'll get Flavian Press. She's dappled out. She looks absolutely fantastic.
Well, we talk about horse for course. 12 starts at Santa Anita on the grass. 11 wins and a second.
And she gets her regular rider who knows her best, Flavian Pratt, who rides in every single Breeders' Cup race. Yeah. If you're looking for another one to use in here, don't discount Mississippi.
No, she's nice.
She's 8-to-1, Graham Motion Trains, just beaten 3/4 of a length by Sister Charlie, and she's 8-to-1.
She's good. She was 6-to-1 when she won the Glens Falls and did it nicely that day. I'll throw one more at you. Did you know? You probably know. Fanny Logan is the only horse, filly, colt, anything else, that John Gosden sent over. He usually brings some 2-year-olds. He usually comes with some pretty good ammunition. This is the only one he sent. It would have been a lot easier for him to say, just forget it. We'll just blow off the year. But he sends Fanny Logan, who has won her last 3. She's gone right up the ladder. She just won a grade 3. She won it eased up.
She won her last 4.
Last 4. Her time form numbers are good, not great, but she's a See the Stars 3-year-old filly with Frankie. Could you do worse than try a John Gosden, Frankie DeCorey, See the Stars filly who's won 4 in a row, first time Lasix from Europe? I don't think so.
Yeah, she had a trip over the course yesterday morning with Frankie aboard her.
Right.
And she just skipped over the turf course. She's definitely a top of the ground kind of filly.
Which is why she's here, because John knows that. John's not sending some of these heavy ground fillies.
She's actually won in soft ground. She won at Salisbury in soft ground, but Fanny Logan. Definitely. I'm not sure if you're going to get 15-to-1 with Frankie riding. He's a very popular young man.
I think from the 12-0 you probably will. And I don't know whether she's good enough to overcome it. But if you're playing, again, supers, tries, whatever, throw Fanny Logan in. She is going to run. She is going to be very competitive if she runs her best race.
Race number 8, the Breeders' Cup Sprint. This is a good one. This is a really, really good race. And I think we're going to see perhaps, obviously the track's been slow, but they're going to run lights out. They're going to go so fast in here. Who are you on? Are you on Mattioli?
No.
Are you on Chancellor?
I'm on Imperial Hint.
There you go.
And the reason why there's a number of reasons. Number one, I love the draw. Let's face it. I mean, this is a horse who is very comfortable sitting second, third, or fourth. If you want him to, he doesn't run off. And his rider, Castellano, can look over and let Mattioli and Chancellor ding it out. And he can just kind of say, you guys go, I'll just use you as a prompter. But more importantly than that, or just as importantly than that, is that Zoe, did you not clip him the other day?
I did clip him. And I'll tell you what, he's probably about maybe 15-2 at the Wither. Right. He's almost way backed. Mm-hmm. His back's probably about 14-2.
Right.
Like, he's not very big. He gets a good draw on the outside. He looks like he's much bigger when he gets on the racetrack because he bows up and he bows his head and he tanks around there. He's just a pocket rocket. Am I going to pick him? No, I'm afraid I'm not picking Imperial Hint. I'm going with Mattioli purely for the fact he had that gate work, which was wickedly fast. but they've literally done nothing with him since. He's ready to burst out the seams. I think Chancelot's work was absolutely extraordinary the other day. It's just going to be a really good race.
What you said about Mattioli is true, and I love the horse, but because he's going to be so sharp and so fresh, he's going to bust out there and go. And Chancelot is not waiting around for anybody. Well, so while those two horses ding-dong each other for a 6 furlongs, here's Imperial Hint, the little butterball, sitting out there just kind of stalking him.
He's definitely not fat.
And Imperial...
he's not fat.
I don't mean he's fat. He's just a little pocket rocket. He is a little thing that just exudes class and quality. And he can stalk, pounce, and go, and he's won 14 out of 23, and he hasn't been out since late September, so he's had plenty of time. And even though he had to work hard to win the Vosburgh, I think that this is going to be his best race. I like Imperial Hint at 4-2-1. Is he a single? No, but he's my top selection.
Okie dokie, race number 9, the Breeders' Cup Mile. What say you, Siegel? Let's have something other than Got Stormy.
Okay, I'll give you Circus Max. now I went back and watched this video. You know how you see these Euros? They're kind of scopy and lengthy, and they kind of drop their head and they quicken and they, right. You know. Circus Max runs like an American horse. I mean, he's all power. There's nothing finesse about him, is what I'm trying to say. And he's got good speed. I'm curious why, and I don't know if this is correct.
I think he ran in blinkers last time.
Okay, because it says blinkers on, and it doesn't make any sense for me to believe that they took him off and he won the Prix de Moulin de Longchamp. But I'm assuming he wore the blinkers. I loved his race. And the reason why I loved it, because he is a fighter. I mean, he dug down deep. He was challenged. And he shrugged off the competition. He can win a fight. He did the same thing when he won the St. James's Palace as a 3-year-old. He fought back, and he was able to win. He is a 3-year-old. I mean, earlier this year. He gets the Lasix, which I don't know if that's going to help. But again, that's the ice-cold Aidan O'Brien factor that I have to deal with. So I don't know which way I'm going to go, but I do know that Circus Maximus, best of the Euros, and he is going to be tough to beat. He will like top of the ground, and he will show enough early speed, not necessarily to be in front. He doesn't have to be in front, but he will be fairly close and have every chance to wear them down.
Of the 10 out there of Aidan's Army this morning, he looked the best.
Thank you. I'm glad you told me that. I did not know that.
You did not know that. He looked the best. The females have a great record in this race.
Sure.
So ignore Got Stormy and Uni at your peril.
No, I would never do that. They're both major contenders for sure. Got Stormy is so tough because she's got such a great style. She just sits there and she goes. She can be in the front.
She's on tilt too.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the pace will be fast enough? I mean, do you think maybe, I mean, Bolo's going to go, but does it matter? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Got Stormy looks like she's going to draft into a great spot, which is why she may have an edge over Uni, who has to come from far back. All right, one more 20-1 shot without parole.
Okay.
Got to mention him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Without parole was good enough to win the St. James's Palace, the same race at Circus Maximus, the one. Without parole did it last year as a 3-year-old. He was undefeated at the time, and then the wheels came off. But that was then. Now he's a first-time Chad Brown. He's a first-time Lasix. He can fire fresh, and he's been training really, really well with the bricks and mortar. If he brought the record that he had last year into this race at this time, he'd be favored.
I know. I mean,
and he might be as good now as he was then.
And he looks really good working.
Okay.
He looks really good out here on the racetrack.
Without parole, I don't know if he can win. Throw him in somewhere. He's the 20-1 shot that you die for. Without parole and Ortiz for Chad Brown and Lasix for the first time, look out below.
Breeders' Cup Distaff goes as race number 10, a mile and an eighth. Can anybody beat the 7-for-7 Midnight Bisou?
Probably not.
You know who I'm going to use with her?
I want to know, and I'll tell you who I'm going to use, but I want to hear your first.
Wildcat.
Okay. Okay.
She's 15-1.
Right.
She just ran right behind Midnight Bisou, twice, in fact. And I think she's the type of mare that gets better at this time of year. She was second in this race last year. I think she likes the cooler air. She likes the fall. She looks way better than she looked this summer at Saratoga. I'm all over Wildcat in here with Bisou.
I think Midnight Bisou is logical. I wish I could find some chink in her armor so I could say, we can beat the 6-to-5 shot. But I think Dunbar Road is going to run better than she did in the Spinster when she finished third, beaten just over length. She was down on the inside. She had her chance. I don't think she was real comfortable in there, and yet she still earned a career top buyer number.
She's a little lighter than I remember her this summer. That's my only knock.
I did not know that.
On Dunbar Road. Right. I watched her canter by me yesterday morning here, and she's not carrying quite the flesh that she carried this summer.
You know, it's funny because she hasn't really been over-raced. I mean, she had a race in May and June and August and October.
I mean, she's by Quality Road, and they come a little light anyway.
Yeah, yeah. If mentally, is she like a lot of the Quality Roads?
She's good.
She's good, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just think on pure... I loved her, obviously, winning the slop. I loved her winning the Alabama. I loved her winning the Mother Goose. And I thought she was a developing filly that was going to start getting good. And I thought she had a really good chance to win the Spencer, but the pace did not come up well for her. But I mean, I'll look at her, and hopefully she'll look decent on race day. But to say that she's going to beat Midnight Bisou, I can't say that. I don't know whether I trust Paradise Woods. I never know what I'm going to get with her. So I think one thing I will say about Midnight Bisou, she'll be everybody's single only because all the other races are so wide open. And if you double the race with Midnight Bisou, who you double it with? I mean, she's either going to win or any one of three or four could beat her. So you might as well just sink or swim with her.
You know who I think is going to handle this track very well, and she's 10-1, is Street Band. Now,
okay.
I don't honestly think that anyone can beat Midnight Bisou, but Street Band... I think it's going to handle this deeper surface, no problem whatsoever. She's never met a track she doesn't like.
Well, I tell you what, the maybe, but her cotillion was 100% or 95% biasated. She took that outside rally-wide trip where I could win if I was running, you know. And before that, you know, Dunbar Road handled her pretty good. I don't think Street Band is going to get that same boost in bias that she got at Parks.
All right, Breeders' Cup Turf, a mile and a half goes as race number 11 again. Bricks and Mortar, 5-5 this year, 6-6 since undergoing string hold surgery, which caused a 2-year layoff. Is he a logical single?
I don't think people are going to single him because, first of all, there's doubt whether he really wants to go a mile and a half. And I don't think it's so much the distance.
He can go a mile and a half,
well,
yeah.
Well, you would think so, but, I mean, will he, you know, he gives you a pretty good run, but he's more of a steady horse. He doesn't have he has a long run, so... Would I expect Bricks and Mortar to run as well as he can on a mile and a half? Yes, why not? I mean, I was actually surprised that Chad was even thinking about the other race because he's already got other horses in there. So I definitely think Bricks and Mortars will be very tough to beat. But this is a course, a mile and a half on course, believe it or not, because it is downhill, that the speed can stick,
yeah.
Especially if the speed horse is one of these horses that doesn't take a hold of the bridle a bit and run off.
I know
Acclimate
where you're going.
Does not
I
do
know
that.
Where you're going.
Acclimate is, he won the San Juan going 1.75 miles. He relaxed beautifully that day, even though it looked like he went fast, but he was going downhill. He is the kind of horse that if you hand him the lead, he will take you all the way around the racetrack. You better get him at the eighth pole, because if you don't, he always seems to find more. Now, he didn't in the John Henry because he went too fast. But I thought he ran really well that day. He's trained well since. He's looked good. And to me, Acclimate from the Tool with Marty Garcia, no one's going to respect him. And he will take this field a very long way. They don't play lap money here. I know. You got to finish the race. But Acclimate's going to give you a run for your money at 20-1.
Did he go too fast, sir? He went 109.3 for the mile and a quarter. When he won the San Juan Capistrano, going 1.75 miles, he went 109.3. So he can go that fast.
But
I think he got beat by a better horse
that
day.
Well, I think he can go that fast, but I also think that he won't have to go that fast because I'm looking for other speed here, and I don't see it, Zoe. I mean, unless you can find somebody. I mean, obviously, Bricks and Mortar can lay fairly close. Bandua, who's a big price, lays fairly close, but he never goes fast. And I really think... Who's going to want to go after a 20-1 shot and pay the price? Like, nobody.
Nobody. And Martin Garcia is the perfect guy to ride
exactly.
Him because he's not scared. He's like, 20-1, I'm just going to go far as I can.
I do know that the instructions for this horse is go to the lead, but don't go too fast. I don't want to see 9 and change. You know, slow it down. He will. This is a horse that doesn't run off. He will go slow if you let him. He's not going to fight you. And I think if he's cruising down by the stands the first time, if he's under cruise control and they hang up the first half in 47 and change, which is not fast coming down the hill, look out below for Acclimate.
What about Old Persian?
Well,
position number 10.
Yeah.
Charlie Appleby, 3-6 in Breeders' Cup races. That's batting 500.
Yeah, I have nothing negative to say about him.
Good.
I mean, if you like him, I'm not going to talk you off him.
I'll give you a long shot, who I like. Channel Maker, drawn to the outside. He's a horse who, like, he can just show up with a really, really good race.
Well, I will say this. He hasn't won a race since May, and it's probably his turn. You know, yeah. Because they all keep taking turns here in the States with these grass horses. And so maybe the line has come back to him now.
Yeah, I don't know whether he's good enough, but I'll tell you one thing. He's a gelding, and I can see why. He's a handful.
Yeah.
He is a handful out there, and he'll get Johnny V, who rode him last time. Breeders' Cup Classic, the last Breeders' Cup race on the card, a mile and a quarter. What say you, Mr. Siegel? I know who you don't like.
Who don't I like? Mackenzie.
Mackenzie.
I love Mackenzie, but not in this race.
Okay.
Okay. Did you know?
Here we go. Yes?
That since he's added blinkers, War of Will has trained really well, and I don't know whether he'll win, but if you're looking for the pace setter, I really believe it's War of Will. And he, if he, again, the same thing with Acclimate. If he gets loose on the lead, this horse won the Preakness. He's not an empty stall. And I know his subsequent races look terrible, but that's all of that is pre-blinkers. Now, he may not matter.
But
he's 20 to 1.
Did you know that War of Will, with the blinkers on, I went back and watched all his works the other day.
Right.
Just because I thought his first work here with the blinkers on was absolutely fantastic.
Right.
I went back and watched his pre-Jim Dandy work, which is probably as good as a horse can work.
Right.
How did he run in the Jim Dandy?
Awful.
Awful.
Right.
He works the same. He is such a good workhorse. I don't think they're going to make any difference.
I don't know. I think they'll make a difference because it may not make any difference, but he will be in front if they want him to be. And this horse strikes me as the kind of horse that if you ever hand him the lead, and if he doesn't make the lead, Zoe, I want you to tell me who's going to be in front. If he makes the lead and they don't respect him, it's that kind of race.
Why isn't Higher Power going to make the lead? The only reason he didn't make the lead last time is because he stumbled.
Yeah.
Higher Power, Pacific Classic
winner. Because he's only made the lead once in his life, and that was on the grass in an allowance race. Otherwise, he doesn't make the lead. Now, would he be sitting second or third? Yes, of course. Why wouldn't he? But he's not going to go fast the first part. They're going to allow War of Will to make the lead, as everybody here should.
What about Mongolian Groom? Why isn't he going to make the lead? What about Mackenzie? They're sending him out of there.
Okay, well, if they're going to send Mackenzie out of the gate and try to make the lead, then he's going to run last. And as far as Mongolian Groom is concerned, he went 48-1 and 112. He's never made the lead in his life other than his last race when they crawled. I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm just saying War of Will be in front. And if he's in front, that's what 20-1 shots are made of.
What about Vino Rosso? There's going to be way more speed in here than you think, Siegel.
I don't know. I'm not seeing it. I don't know why
There's a lot of ones by horses' names in here.
But they don't go fast. I mean, Vino Rosso went 47-3 in a five-horse field last time at Belmont. I mean, that's not speed. Where did he show speed? He doesn't show speed. This is a big field. All I'm saying is War of Will will be in front, and he will be going slower than he's normally, and he will get brave, and then at the 3/8 bowl, we'll find out if he's any good.
Code of Honor is going to win the race.
Three-year-old?
Yep.
I don't know. Is it going to rain?
I don't think it's not going to rain.
I'll tell you what,
I love Code of Honor.
I don't dislike him. Even if Vino Rosso threw a block in the back last time, I was disappointed that Code of Honor didn't blow on by him. He didn't. That's the only thing that sticks in my mind is the fact that he's supposed to blow by that horse and he didn't. And I'm just not sure. Now, other races were good. The Travers was good. But he's not running against this group. He's running against Tacitus and Lucha Gusto. That doesn't prove anything to me. He's beating Final Jeopardy and Rowaiten before that. So this is the kind of race that, honestly, anybody can win, which is why I went with a late, because at least I know she can go a mile and a quarter.
Oh, you're going with War of Will.
No. War of Will, I'm just giving a 20-1
shot. Okay.
But to me, my selection is a late. She could win or she could run ninth. I don't know. But it's that kind of classic. I'm hoping for a revelation. The only revelation I've gotten so far is that I think Warville's going to be in front. I have no idea who's going to win, but I think he's going to be in front. If they could allow me to bet to the 3/8 pole, I'd be in great shape.
I'll say one thing. Horse racing needs a late to win.
I'd like to. Well, why would you say that? I'd like to see your win.
I think it would be a great story. The mare, 10 years after Zenyatta won the classic here, Elate wins the classic 10 years on. Well, it would be fitting.
Not only that, but Elate still has the option, because she's a broodmare, of running in the Pegasus. So it's not like this would necessarily be her last race.
No, not at all.
You know, I don't think it's great for racing. When American Pharoah won the Breeders' Cup Classic. It was his last race, so we couldn't really build on that. It was like a swan song and all that. But this mare could run again.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't she? They don't breed him until mid-February.
I'll tell you what. Right now, she looks as good as I've ever seen her. Well, now, she always looks good.
Yeah, but
now, she always looks good.
But she's training good now.
Yeah. She's good. I'm okay. Still going to go with Code of Honor and Root for LA.
This is going to be an exciting couple of days because more so than any Breeders' Cup that I can remember, because we usually have four or five races. Not only do we think the favorite's going to win, but everybody likes the favorite because they're easy to like. I mean, you want to pick against American Pharoah? Go ahead. Or, you know, whatever. Or, you know. But the point is, this is the first year that I can remember where there's so many different opinions from so many different angles and from, you know, some people hate the favorite, they love the favorite, they love long shot. I mean, there's so much difference of opinion. It's going to be really fun for the horse player.
And that's because there's an awful lot of opinions. I don't think I've ever seen as many people out here this morning that were out here this morning, even in past Breeders' Cup.
Right.
It was absolutely mobbed here at Santa Anita. Just a brilliant vibe.
The weather's
electric.
Pretty good. People like to come out when it's sunny and warm, and they don't get that much at home.
It was cold this morning. It was chilly first thing, Cedar.
Well, I wouldn't know that.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. All right, guys. Well,
I'll believe you.
We hope you have a fruitful Breeders' Cup. Make some money. Hopefully Jeff Siegel gave you some winners here.
I hope so, and I love your information. We'll have a couple of good days, and we'll talk to you again next week. We'll see when the dust settles.
Thanks for tuning in to The Backstretch.